That song started this whole Bible study years and years and years ago, and it has sustained. And it is still important to pray for our children who have gone astray. As some of you know, your children grow up, and when they do, they have a mind of their own. As they do when they're at home, yes. Yes, they do. So we always have to keep our children in prayer because the world is at risk. And without plenty of prayer and lots of God in their lives, they are at risk. And there never seems to be too much of it. This morning, I share with you all that I have a sore throat. But I am on today because I wouldn't miss this for nothing. I get so excited about being able to do the Lord's work that I nothing can keep me from it, not hardly. And I want you to know that in the doing of it, I feel better. I can actually feel better, right? And I don't see it as an opportunity to take a break. I see it as an opportunity to go, man, go. I love doing the work that God has given me, even when I don't feel good. I love it. I get to do these things. You know what my life was like before I did all this stuff? It was boring because it was all stuff that I made up, like stuff I thought I had to do. Boy, with God, I get all kinds of things I didn't think of. I didn't know were coming. It's amazing. Is it good? Yeah, it's great. It's much more fun. It's much more fun. In chapter 36, God is a verb, 2024, I assure you that a lot of people believe in God. They do. They do. I did believe in God. I just didn't know that it was a God that was in the Bible. I had made up my own God. I didn't realize that. I grew up Catholic. I was in school. The nuns were telling me about Jesus, and my goodness, you know, it was real, yeah? But without studying the Bible, I have a limited vision of what God is. And that's the God that I pray to. And my God that I pray to is a limited God. And I don't need a limited God, and neither do you. By the way, a limited God isn't the God. So if you're praying to a limited God, you're not really praying to God. I realized that in chapter 36. I can't use God if I'm praying to the wrong God, but I didn't mean to. It happens all the time. People don't study up and they don't know the God that they're praying to. They're praying to God. I want to make sure I'm praying to the number one, uno, number one, top dog. And I realize that in chapter 36, here we go, chapter 36, God is a verb, 2024. Anybody can make it to 36. Really? I did, and I didn't know anything about anything. I read the book and understood a few things, but God in his mercy kept me in order. I didn't know what I was doing. He kept me in order. I certainly didn't know what he was really up to in my life or have any idea what I was looking at in the lives of others who were around me, whether they were in church or not. The day he opened my eyes, however, something big happened. I mean, really big. It happened. I mean, I don't want to sell that short. You know, up to 30, say something happened before these chapters. The day he opened my eyes, suddenly I had a lot of information and understanding. I didn't have about 1 millisecond before that. They call it being saved, right? It's frightening for me. It was frightening. God had suddenly given me eyes to see and ears to hear. Now what? What was I going to do? First off, I had to realize what happened, but it took me a while because, like I said, you can get to 36 believing in God. You just don't know the God in the Bible, the God that he says he is, the God that's described in there. But you do have eyes to see and ears to hear, so you can learn Galatians 1:11, 24. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. Wow. That was Paul speaking to the Galatians. And then he goes on to say, I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Whoa, what? I didn't receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. What? Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. I didn't know that when it happened. I didn't understand. I couldn't have an understanding of that. But using God as a verb, suddenly I did realize that given thoughts that I obey, given thoughts about doing the right thing, suddenly they started coming into my mind, and his direction will always prevail if I'm listening. I did know something was going on like that. And thank God he kept me in the straight and narrow. Thank God that I knew the difference between him and the devil. No, he just spoke in a way that I could understand it. I didn't know till later I could hear the direction of God or a thought or a musing, and it wasn't God. You know, these kind of voices could get me in trouble. I didn't know that. Luke 12:12. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Wow, that's pretty heavy. That's cool, isn't it? It's cool. It's heavy, but it's cool. Sometimes, of course, things didn't go my way. I might think they didn't go my way. I had to learn about that. That wasn't always the case. Perhaps nothing went wrong, but I thought it wasn't going my way. Well, maybe that wasn't the case. Perhaps nothing was wrong. Rather, it was a good planning by the Lord, not me. I learned the difference to keep me out of trouble. Obedience is sometimes information gathering of what not to do rather than what to do, right? There is wisdom in walking away from situations, even when they seem so good. Listen and use the voice of God. How do you know it's his voice? Ask him. People say that all the time. How do you know? Ask him. It says in the Bible that my sheep know my voice. It's true. It's true. Beloved, 1 John 4:1-6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. How do you do that? How do you test? How to be obedient to the direction of the Lord and know that it is truly his direction? The longer you're on the path, the easier discernment in the spirit. Stay the course. The winners believe it. Read the book and pray every day. Grow up in the power of God. Be strong in him. The longer you're on path, yeah. Be obedient to the direction of the Lord. Know that it is truly his direction. The longer you're on the path, the easier it is to tell the difference between all the chatter in your head and God directing you. Ephesians 4:14. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful schemings. Yeah, man. Look, discernment is pointless. It's a pointless word if we don't make it a point to know the God of the Bible. There are many believers who have an incomplete version of God in mind. Incomplete. I've heard people say, my Jesus is love. Your Jesus is always judging, and I don't like that. Okay. I hear that a lot. And I say to that, yeah, Jesus is love. But whether I like it or not, he's also the judgment. He has been given all authority. He sits on the bema seat in judgment of believers and what each has done with the gift of salvation. Oh, yeah, at the rapture, there is a bema seat where you're going to heaven. But God says, what have you done with your salvation, this free gift? What have you done with it? Oh, yeah. He's the judge. But you're going to heaven. You want to be in front of him when he sits on the bema seat. But he also sits on the throne at the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment. And he sits on the throne, the end of it all, the end of everything, where all unbelievers are cast into hell. You see, incomplete perceptions of God can be very dangerous. The God that we serve is the judge. He is a righteous God. And he will judge the believers and the non-believers. You see, incomplete perceptions of God, very dangerous. Being led by the God in the Bible, not the one I make up, is in line with the Holy Spirit. And it's very profitable. It's very profitable to one's life. It is. And who wants to be without that? King David said it best, Psalm 51:10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Oh, yeah. You see what he said there? Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Whoa, he knew about it then. That was before the apostles and Acts when Jesus left and the Holy Spirit descended on them. David knew this long before that. I've often said, like I tell you, anybody can do 1 through 35. Yeah, pretty much without reading the Bible. It's true for me anyway. I mean, I was reading, but not like I learned. Everybody has their particular idea of God. And it's generally okay for most. There's nothing I can do about it. It's pretty, most people like these chapters until they don't. Or until I say the God in the Bible. At that point, there are only two choices. You either go to the book or you don't. You can't just make it up and say, I'm authority, I'm the expert, this is who God is. You got to go to the book. You got to go to the Word. The Word doesn't come alive when you read it. It's already alive. For me, 36 is the key. God as a verb means I know who God says he is. And I'm going to tell you about God as a verb in a minute, what that means, like in action. I can use my relationship with God. I can use God in every aspect of my life. He is an action-packed word in my life. How do I do that? Well, I'm going to give you a couple examples of other people in the Bible. My buddy Joshua in the Old Testament, he was having a day of it in battle, and he was running out of daylight. Not good in those days. So God as a verb, Joshua knew how to use God as a verb. And upon his request, God did what needed to be done, what he had asked for. He made the day longer. You're kidding me. What are you talking about? Joshua 10, dig this. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ayalon. So the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Yasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven, and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. Ayon, in the valley of Ayon and Gibeon. The sun stood still, the day stood still, and Joshua conquered his enemy. Impressive. Makes what I need today pretty insignificant, right? Let me tell you another one. My buddy Elijah, he was having a little trouble one day. Elijah had a lot of trouble. In fear of his life, the prophet Elijah, he was a good prophet, obedient. But it became important one day that Elijah prove that God is God, or the queen would kill him. Well, she was pretty evil. She's probably going to kill him either way. But that's not the way it worked out. God was called on by Elijah as a verb. Here's the story. Two altars were set up and two bulls were placed atop of each altar. The idea was a contest between Elijah and the one true God, and Baal, the false god of the people. So Elijah and God on one side, Baal and his people on the other side, Baal the false god. Whichever altar caught the bull on fire would be declared the winner. Yeah, I'm just calling down fire from God, right? Calling down fire. That was the contest. These are crazy people, man, with a false god calling down fire. How's that going to work out? Well, as you can imagine, Baal's high priests tried unsuccessfully to catch the bull on fire to prove Baal was God. Too bad for Baal. It was unsuccessful. Now it was Elijah's turn to prove the one true God. This is what happened. God is a verb. 1 Kings 18:36, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are the God of Israel and I am your servant and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their face and said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. That's a big deal. It tore up the moat around it, the water, anything around it. There was water. They made these bulls soaking wet. Boom. That's a big deal. The false god Baal was ceremoniously conquered in the contest. The triumph of Elijah and the living God. P.S. The queen vowed to kill him even after all that. But it didn't work out. That didn't work out for her. God is a verb. God makes promises and he keeps them. The God in the book, he makes promises. Read what they are. You can depend on it. But it's important to note that it works both ways. This is so hard because I can't talk about what God, why he does what he does. But I know that he does what he says he's going to do. And in an obedience, the unfortunate case of disobedience and disrespect, it works both ways. In Deuteronomy 28, it was harsh when I read it. You can read it. I'm not going to read it to you today, but God promises his people in obedience that they will be blessed. But he also promises in disobedience they will be cursed. And the list for both is extensive. How they will be blessed in obedience and how they will be cursed in disobedience and disrespect. Wow. Rather than all that, Deuteronomy 28, just read it. Because, brother, this is where the rubber meets the road. Blessings in all areas or curse in all areas, your choice, right? But I'm going to tell you exactly what I do in my little life, you know, where I use God as a verb. But let's see what the Bible says first. Let's investigate some of the promises the Lord has made. God is a verb. If we stay on the good road, God is a verb. Deuteronomy 4, if we search for him, we will find him. 1 Chronicles 16, his love will never fail. 2 Corinthians 1, comfort in our trials. 2 Corinthians 5, promised a new life in Christ. 1 Peter, our inheritance is reserved for us in heaven. Philippians 1, promise to finish the work he started in you. He'll finish it. Philippians, peace when we pray. Oh, yeah. Matthew 6, Philippians 4, supplies our needs, not our wants, our needs. John 10, promise of abundant life to those who follow him. What was that? CEOs of all the companies, John 10, promise of abundant life to those who follow him. John 4, eternal life to those who trust him. Acts 17, power from on high. John 14, he will return for us. Did you hear that stuff? Power from on high. That's promised to you. John 14, he'll return for you. Promise of abundant life. John, you. Eternal life to those who trust him. That's you. In 36, either I believe in God of the Bible or I don't. And I might not even know I don't believe in the God in the Bible if I don't read it. If I believe every word in that book that describes the Father, then also know the only way to the Father is through the Son. The power of him is with me, in me, for me. This is huge. How do I know that I got to read that book to know God? To be able to pray to the one true God, I got to know the God in the book. How do I know that? One scripture told me how important the word is to God. One scripture. It's huge. How do I know how to use God as a verb or that I can? It's in his word. Dig this. Look what he says. Psalm 138:2. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. Now, that's enough if that was all it said, but here comes the big one. I'm going to read just that again because I'm going to set you up for the big phrase here. Psalm 138:2, I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. Here we go. For you have magnified your word above all your name. Above all your name. Above all your name. He magnified the word. He's telling you the word is more important than his name. Because you can't know him without the word. You can't know what his name is. You can't know him. That's awesome. It's the only place in the book he put anything above him. And nobody knew that was coming. I bet nobody on this phone knows that in Psalm 138:2, he said, you have magnified your word above all your name. David knew it, and he wrote this. He knew it. Wow, the word above his name. Huge. So if I'm in the word, I'm on holy real estate, baby. I will absolutely learn there. He will make it so. This is the most important thing to him. Without that, I'm lost. I mean, I might not think I am, but I'm blocked from the gift of the Holy Spirit because I'm not in the true God. I think I am. I know it sounds so harsh. When I figured this out, it wasn't day one. I didn't have anybody telling me this. It wasn't day one. That's why I can tell you I learned this in the Word. Without the word, I'm lost. I'm blocked from the gift of the Holy Spirit, discernment. Doesn't that sound harsh? Well, it is harsh. Do I really want that in my life? No, I don't, and neither do you. I want the key of David. And believe me, David knew it. In his own sin, King David, and disobedience, David cried out to the Lord, fearing what he could be without. He murdered one of his strong men because he slept with his wife and she became pregnant. And to get out of it, to conceal his sin, he had one of his own murdered. That's King David. Come on. And he knew. He knew. Listen to this in Revelation 3, 7-8. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true. The one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close, and what he closes, no one can open. I know all the things you do, and I have opened a door for you that no one can close. You have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. You see, David prayed that the Holy Spirit would not be taken from him. In his sin, he asked God's forgiveness. And what I'm telling you, that even though in your own sin, in my sin, he opens doors for me that cannot be closed and closes doors for me that cannot be opened. I am weak, a sinner, and yet God still loves me. It says it right here from the message from the one who is holy and true. I know all the things you do. That's good and bad. You have little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. King David sinned, but he did not deny God. But he knew who God, he knows God. He knows the one true God. Look, my aim is true. I'm here for the information. But the information's not easy to find or understand without strict guidelines. It's a challenge, man. Study is definitely inconvenient, but I want the answers every day in my life. I want the answers, and so do you. Reading the book is a commitment. How do you use God as a verb? Well, I'm going to tell you, both now and tomorrow and forever, as long as I breathe, I read the word so that every day I know God a little better. So that I know God a little better. The one true God, the one that's in the book, the downside is so big. You sell yourself short in ways you'll never know. The worst. The worst. The worst. As I said, he knows how important it is to his children that you read. He knows. He said it here in the Word. It's above me. Read it, read it, read it, and I will give you answers you never had, answers you can't get. You can't get anywhere on earth. You can only get them from God. He said it in Scripture. He clearly wants you to win, kids. He wants you to win. No need to invent a God. You got the real deal, man. There's no need to invent God or sell him short or not read up. You got the real deal. And by the way, I underlined this in my notes. It's easy to do this inventing a perception of God. It's easy to do. There are many Christians who are in church every week. Unfortunately, with a God of their perception. A God of their perception. Rather than a God of his perspective. A God that is in their mind, that they think they know. Is that a false God? I'm afraid so, my friends. If it ain't the God, if it ain't God, it ain't God. Matthew 12:30. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. And so I tell you, every kind of sin and slander can be forgiven. But blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Oh, that just sounds bad, doesn't it? I could do a whole lesson on that. And I'm not qualified to do it. I could give you what I got. Blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. Whoa, that's heavy, isn't it? Certainly nobody does that willingly. Well, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do, but you're not one of them. Nobody on this phone does that willingly. However, it's easier than you might think to accidentally find oneself contradicting the Word of God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Are there people in church that feel that way? Yes. Don't let it be you. Without God as a verb, I'm on my own power, kids. And that power, like a cell phone, runs out of battery without a charger. Are you feeling me, kids? Romans 2:7-8. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. Oh, wow, is that heavy. But he goes on. He doesn't stop there. That's like busting the seat belts right there. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. That means you're going to be really mad when you wake up in hell. This sounds so harsh. Well, the rewards of using God as a verb are great. To those who are given much, I say it all the time. But I don't want to use that. I don't want to put a fish out there and say, I mean, what do they say? A hook out there with a, you know, if you get this, if you believe in the one true God, you get this. Use God as a verb and you win every time. But I got to tell you, the bait on believing in God, you can't get any better than that. The bait that I throw out there, I didn't throw it out there, God threw it out there. What is the problem in knowing God and actually being able to use God as an action item? What is the problem in knowing God and actually being able to use God as a verb? It's very simple. If you can't use God as a verb, it's because you or I have an incomplete understanding of him. You didn't mean to have an incomplete understanding. You just think you got it, right? You just think you got it. Well, the only way I know what I got is to keep reading. If I don't know what God has done and how he did it, if I don't know everything, and I find more stuff that he did in that book every day, and I've been reading it for years. I understand him better because I know why he's doing things. He warns his people of his power, and then he does it. We don't need to get into all those stories, but I can tell you this. If you don't know the one true God, you'll look to the world. All of us, it's like normal, it's natural. We have a need to look to something that's greater than us. We look to the world, and that turns out to be money, property, and prestige. Or whatever I dream up, right? Let's take, I always talk about money, property, and prestige. Whatever you dream up. Okay, how about that? If you don't know the one true God, it's whatever you dream up. Well, why would I do that? Well, I wouldn't do it on purpose. But without continuing in the Word every day, I won't know any better. I won't know any better. Psalm 146 tells me, don't put your confidence in powerful people. There is no help for you there. Look, I had a great friend. I have a great friend. Years ago, he was married to a wonderful woman. And he was in the movie business. And he picked up with a gigantic star, a superstar. And he left his wife and married her. And that was the end of his belief system, his everything. And how long did that marriage last? Not long. The things of this world don't last very long. And what happened to that marriage? What happened to that woman? What happened to that life that he had? He snuffed it out. Worried about what? This was the opportunity of all times? Clearly it was not. Look, most of the time, I'm concerned about gathering financial freedom for the rest of my life, financial freedom for the future, so when I get there, everything is well and good. Then I read this. Luke 12, 19 and 21, and I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. We spend so much time worried about the future and not about what we should be doing with God. Look, you can put companies together all day long. You can buy and sell companies. Buy low, sell high. You can do it all day long. But if you took just a fraction of that time to invest in study, what would you know? You would know the discernment of the ages, knowledge and wisdom of the creator of the universe. You see what he says here? You fool. Who's going to take care of your stuff? When you die, all this stuff you laid up so you could take a break and retire, Who's gonna enjoy that now? Take the time to know your Creator today and then use His power as He sees fit. Does He mind that you're using His power? No, He invites you to do it. Use my power to go farther in life. Is that crazy talk? No. The Lord God is here so you prevail in this broken, beat up world we have that could have been so beautiful. If we hadn't ruined it, it could have been so beautiful. He says, use me. Use me. Learn to feel the Lord right now, today. And the direction in which He is leading you will take on your life. Will you prevail? You'll prevail in everything you're supposed to prevail in. And you will not prevail in those things that are not good for you. Well, what if I like those things? What if I want to try? That is your free will. And I promise you, like my friend who took the opportunity of marrying the superstar, what did he end up with now? So many years later, it ain't that great, okay? It ain't that great. James 4:14, whereas you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Why would you make such a big deal out of everything except I don't have time to read the scripture? This morning I got up to finish this and I was up at 1 or 2 in the morning. I got this, I hope it's not strep throat. I'm trying not to say the word, but my daughter had it, right? And I said, God, I'm so tired after working on this and all these scriptures and all these referrals and all these cross-referencing. I don't have time to study this morning. Just pray. And that voice came to me. Well, you're sitting in front of your desk and you got your new Bible with the giant words on it. Why don't you just read it now? I'm like, oh, okay. Okie dokie. Look, I remember my prayer so many years ago and what I felt surely was the end of my life. I remember that prayer. I feel it, man. I knew it was the end of my life, and I prayed, God, direct me, and I will obey. Save me from this. In that moment, my life changed forever. It did, in that moment, in that millisecond. It changed forever. I wasn't sick in that moment. Clearly, I didn't die. I had trouble. For sure, after that, I had troubles. But my aim remained true. I'm a sinner. I bump into myself, my trouble, my self-will run riot, all of it. But my aim remained true. I want to try. I want to do for him. I want to be right, even when it's impossible. Even when every moment I got to overcome free will, stubborn, whatever, right? Whatever. I ask him to protect and direct me. And may I use his power to bring about a change in whatever I'm doing. May I use his power to employ and deploy the strength of God, the wisdom, knowledge of God. Right now, can I do it? Will you give it to me right now? Will you give it to me? And he says, yeah. Yeah. And this is how I'm going to do it. Back up. I ask him to protect and direct me. Does it work? Yes. As long as I'm consistent in my relationship, so I know it's him. Because the better you get at this, the devil's got to get you, baby. The better you get at this, you'll start telling your friends about it. Man, the better you get at this, the bigger the target on your back and front, top and bottom. So what? If God is with you, who can stand against you? Job 5:17, blessed is the one whom God corrects. So do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. Right? People say all the time, make me better, God. And as soon as he starts doing it, it's hard. So the next thing they pray is, stop the attack. The devil's coming in. It's not the devil. It's God making you better. You guys have had challenges in your life. You know what it is. You have the power of God as a verb. And so do I. That doesn't mean the world's going to get easier. It means you got God. I ask myself every day, am I to be delivered from the hands of fate into the hands of destiny? That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? To be delivered from the hands of fate into the hands of destiny? Or just remain a shadow of what I could have been? Hey, back off from church, back off from what they should be doing. There isn't a place in this world where there are CEOs on the phone talking like this. This is just for you. God made all this just for you. Look, our businesses are examples of God as a verb. Your business, it's an example of God as a verb. Your life, in the correct order, is used by the Lord as an example to do his work. Your success and failures are all used by the Lord, and you, in the right state of mind, will be okay in the worst of situations. A peace that surpasses all understanding when everything's out of whack. Without God as a verb, however, this life is a mess with no understanding, and your business is a fear of what you could lose if anything goes wrong. Am I right? Without God as a verb, it's all on you. Life is a mess. The world is a mess, and you have no understanding of what's going on, and you have fear. You're full of fear, and if your business doesn't work out, you're full of fear, and if this doesn't work out, everything goes wrong. What will I do? What will I do? That's what life is like without God. And if it's like that with God, get back in the book. Because you're praying to a God that is not complete. It's incomplete. Does that mean I don't get afraid? Oh, heavens, no. I get afraid and I go to that book to complete that God, that one true God, to complete that one true God in my mind, so I'm praying to the one true God, not a perception of something that's incomplete. This life is nuts without God. It's nuts with God, right? The life is nuts with God. And it's nuts without God, plain and simple. We're here for such a short time. And then all of eternity. Hear me, brothers. Hear me, sisters. We are here for a short time. And then all eternity, based on what happens here, is with the Creator or not. I've often said, your life is as long as a string that wraps around the whole world. And your time on earth is only as long as that a piece of string that measures from the tip of your thumb to the first knuckle. And the rest of it is spent in eternity. Look, man. When it comes to your business, it is a part of your life as a whole with God, as a whole with God. Use it to the glory and honor of Him, and even in hard times, you'll rest in the fact that God is God and He is there. Ask yourself right now, is this of God or is this questionable behavior? Because if it's God and you're trying to close a deal, you'll close the deal. If it will benefit you and the glory and honor of God. If it won't, the door will close and it cannot be opened. And you'll say to yourself, thank you, Jesus, if you're in the Word. That's using God as a verb. If I'm doing something in questionable behavior, ask the question when I'm doing things. That question and answer has kept me out of a lot of trouble. And, may I say, when I have failed to ask that question at times, there's consequences, and God has had to come and get me out of whatever jam I've gotten myself into. Kids, God is a verb. He's your turbocharger, man. You got a big day ahead of you. Everything's on the line. Everything's at stake. God as a verb. God is an action item in everything I do and everything you do. As we close it up here, dig this. Dig this. You can call upon the Creator of the universe to deploy angels to light your path and keep you safe in absolutely every situation in your life. Without deploying into your life the precise God that is written in the Bible, you will come up short. Oh, yeah. Look, it ain't roses all the time. I like this one. I got the big line at the end, right? I watch pastors a lot. They always come up with these big lines. Well, the good ones do. They come up with great lines, right? I hope this is a good line. It ain't roses all the time. However, without God, there's no gardener. It's good and crazy with God. It's just crazy without God. It ain't roses all the time. However, without God, there's no gardener. Amen, amen. John